It's good to be back. 6.5 years, long time to be gone, and 4.5 of that's been an interim pastorate at 3 different churches. So we just are thrilled always when we get to come home, and Margaret's here most of the time. But it's just a wonderful time. When Andy asked me to preach, I thought, praise the Lord. That's going to be a wonderful time. And but then you got to find a sermon God wants you to preach, and that puts stress on you. You ever felt, you may not have felt that. But one of the things I get praying, Lord, what do you want me to share at Air Heights? And I thought, okay, I'll just preach what I preached last Sunday at Core Church. That'll be easy. I'd already practiced it once, you know. And the Lord said, no, that was for them. So the Lord just kept, you know, I only have manuals of sermons, and I go through it. Lord, what do we do? Well, if you were here about 15 years ago, God laid a sermon as I went through on my heart, but it's been revised for today. I preached a series on faith is. And today we want to understand what God wants to say to us, because have you ever heard of ADD? Attention deficit disorder. I mean, a kid has that, and boy, sometimes it's just hard to keep their attention. It's hard to get them to sit down. It's hard for you to be able to communicate in some way that you think is very meaningful doing that. It's amazing. You know, sometimes I think Christians suffer from spiritual ADD. Distracted. You ever been distracted about spiritual things? Inattentive. Have you ever seen those people that are hyper-spiritual? I mean, they're so spiritual and so hyperactive, sometimes they miss God. Think about it. Are you listening to me? Listen up. You ever heard those statements? I used to kid that. That's what I'd use in preaching years ago. I'd say, listen up. And about 5 people would wake up because I could see them, you know. And that was the phrase. So when you remember me saying, listen up, we were waking up some folks, you know. Listen carefully to what I say. Listen and learn. Do you really care enough to listen? Yes, then listen. Today we're going to focus on listening to God. If there's anything I believe today that we need to hear in our churches, in the hearts of every Christian, is, are you really listening to God today? We're going to focus on that. Before we focus on listening to God, maybe we ought to truly, truly ask the question, does God still speak to Christians? That's a fair statement. Does God still speak to Christians? This. You mean you preach here? Okay, this is no good. I guess I'll stand still. You don't understand. I don't hang it on the outside. It's down deep, brother. I didn't like cords on the outside. Never have, never will. But anyway, we'll get on, right? The question is, does God still speak to Christians today? You know, if you go through this, the Old and the New Testament are just filled with God speaking to people. And that's such a dynamic part of what God's sharing with us, is that he's speaking to people. Let me ask you a serious question. If you love somebody, do you speak to that person? Yes. If we love somebody, we're going to speak to them. That's why I've learned so many families that learn sign language and other things, because they want to communicate clearly with what God is doing, God is saying. If you don't speak to a person, what happens to relationship? If you don't speak, that relationship sort of has some problems. You know, if I don't communicate with my wife, I got problems. And so it's important that Christians should expect, are you listening? Expect to hear from God. God speaks to Christians, to them directly from time to time. But what hinders you? What hinders you from hearing God? Is it that you don't expect God to speak to you? Let me ask you a serious question. Do you expect God to speak to you? The word expect is very important. Manly Beasley said, faith is believing something is so before it's so in order for God to make it so. If you don't expect God to speak to you, why should he speak to you? Because, you see, that's an act of your faith and trust in him. Is that you don't recognize his voice when he speaks to you. This is God, listen up. Is that the way you think he'll speak to you? What about a still small voice? What about a still small voice? I used to do evening prayer time, and I started in my recliner. That didn't work. Feet go up, my eyes go down, so I had to get out of the recliner for my evening prayer time. This was when Margaret and the kids were asleep, so I started sitting in front of the chair. And I started praying, but my mind got to drifting, and I'd say, Lord, forgive me. And you know what I learned? Be quiet and listen to God. I learned to take a notepad, because in the silence of that bedroom, sitting on the floor in front of my recliner, God began to speak to me as I had thoughts that came. And I began to write them down. I began to see what God was up to in a lot of different ways during that time. Is it that you've dulled or quenched the Holy Spirit? Is it that you've allowed the Holy Spirit to take second place? Quench, what does that really mean, to quench the Holy Spirit? To extinguish, to let something cool down. Have you let the power of the Holy Spirit cool down in your life as a Christian? 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not. Do you notice that was a command? Pray for me. I want to write a book on the commands of Jesus. Because it's not a question. He says to you, Bob Green, you do not quench the Holy Spirit. You don't quench my spirit. Friends, God is listening today. Don't quench your spirit. So let's talk about how God speaks today. How does God speak today? God speaks through his word, the Bible. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Timothy 3. Flip over there with me. Get your Bible out, flip over there. You need to make sure this is a marked passage. 2 Timothy 3. It's one we've read, studied over and over. But it's one of the most important scriptures for you to put into your life. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, that's not me, who's a man of God? Every person that's been redeemed is a person of God. That the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Folks, the revelation, the scripture, what God has given us is a way that you're going to hear from God. Think about it. Now, be careful. Apart from the Holy Spirit's work in your mind and heart, the Bible is just another collection of historical stories. If you don't let the Holy Spirit work in your heart as Christians, you're not going to see the dynamic part of what God's up to today. And the stories will just simply be things you're reading. And yet God has got a word for us, a revelation he's saying to us. Let us be those individuals that hear what I want you to hear. Life is in the Spirit of God. You realize that you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit? Why is that? Because Jesus says it's needful that I go away, but I'm going to leave you my Spirit. He's going to dwell in you. He's going to have influence upon you. And so that power of the Holy Spirit in our life is very, very important to us, because God is trying to say to us, let my spirit have its way in your life. Anybody remember Deion Sanders? Anybody? Raise your hand if you remember Deion. Okay. Pretty good football player, wasn't he? You know, when I was reading about his testimony, it struck me, because it was interesting. Here's what he said. He said, I read the Bible daily. Every day I read the Bible. But he said, 5 minutes after I read it, I've forgotten what it said. It never affected my lifestyle. And I never heard from God. Are you listening? But when I was born again, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, the Bible became alive. The Holy Spirit was alive in me. Listen, you're not intelligent enough to hear from God through the scripture without the Holy Spirit being alive in you. You understand that? This is not some mystic book. This is the presence of God in our lives as the Holy Spirit interprets it for us. We need that interpretation. Somebody asked John Blanchard one time, where were you trained? Many of you remember John from England, a great Bible teacher we had for years and years. Ask John, where were you trained? What school were you in that God gave you such insight? He said, I was in the school of the Holy Spirit. Never forgot that. The school of the Holy Spirit. Important. Are you intentional? Do you have a plan for this word being a part of your life on a daily basis? Intentionality is important. And so I'm encouraging you today, be sure that you've got a plan where you're reading, you're listening. It's wonderful to listen to the gospel. With all the apps we've got today, boy, you can just turn it on and listen to it. Faith cometh by sitting and watching. Faith cometh by what? Hearing the word of God. Listen to it. Let it be a part of your life. God is working through his word. Back in the eons when we were on Main Street as a church, how many of you were ever at Main Street worship? Go see your hands. A few. Okay. Back on Main Street, it was a time I'd come in 74 and it was 75, sometime around that, and we were just praying and doing, there's all kinds of things God was doing, but there was just issues I just needed to hear from God. I said, God, I need to hear from you. I don't understand which direction we're to go, and on and on. And so I was just praying, and I was reading the Bible. I mean, I was reading, Lord, speak to me through the word. Nothing stuck. I'd read and read, nothing. But one morning I went over at 2 a.m. We turned an old janitor's closet into a prayer room over there, right off the worship center. And I was praying and reading the scripture, and I came to 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. And all of a sudden, a light came on and zeroed in on chapter 10, on verse 10. I read 6. If you haven't read it, that's what I preached last week, so I'm not going to preach today. If you haven't read 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10, read it. Because God began to speak to my heart. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the appropriate time. Cast all your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Get your right mind on. You've cast, but he says, be on the alert. Satan prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Stand firm, resist him, and he'll flee. Verse 10 said, and after you've suffered a little while, then I'll strengthen, confirm, and establish you. And that light hewed in on that, and I thought, yes, this is not going to be forever. A little while. Suffered for a little while. We understand that, Lord. Have you ever argued with the Lord what a little while is? I have. You know, your little while, Lord, my little while is not the same. And so it's important for us to understand that the Bible is God's word to us, and he will illuminate it to us in different ways. I'll never forget. I know we're all praying for Harry Bevel and his heart valve they're going to put a new one in Tuesday. But I'll remember when Charlotte Bevel was having problems with her tumor that was in her brain and etc., and they had a surgeon. They were going to Canada for another one. It was on the pituitary gland, and I never will forget Charlotte telling me, Bob, I was so uptight, my anxiety was just off the chart. But she said, God gave me a verse, and God comforted my heart because of the verse. And she held on to that verse all the way through the surgery in Canada. She came back, she shared with the church. And what I'm telling you folks is, God speaks through his word. Let the word be opened so that you might hear from God himself. But also, God speaks through experiences. You had some unusual experiences. You had bad experiences. You had good experiences. I mean, people are going through in India, Cuba, persecution, tsunamis. People going through all kinds of problems, hurricanes, health issues, marriage issues. People have difficulty. But through experiences, God can reveal himself and speak to your heart. In the midst, while you are suffering, after you've suffered a little while, here's what I've learned to teach people. In your suffering, pray this prayer. Lord, teach me what you want me to learn while I'm going through it. If you have an open heart to receive, God will show you and teach you some wonderful things. But you know, it's not only through the difficult things, experiences that God, but it's through the good things God teaches us. I'm glad Brother Andy and his family are able to get away and be on vacation. Vacation is some of the most meaningful times for my family. You know, I have a little plaque as you come in my back door, and it says, I didn't know we were building memories. We were just having a good time. That's what they're doing. Good times. I remember going and sat in a Bill Bright's teaching over in Arkansas, and he challenged us to be filled with the Spirit. Because, you know, Christians are not always filled with the Spirit. You ever run into one of those non-filled? Yeah. Teaching about fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I remember under that tree in Arkansas, as we were there under his teaching, and how God began to minister to me, Bob Green, as he had us make a list of every unconfessed sin in our life, not hindering the Holy Spirit. I remember when a group of us pastors went off to Knoxville, Tennessee, to the Billy Graham Crusade. We were being trained in Billy Graham School of Evangelism, going to the crusade at night. That experience, God spoke to my heart in many, many, many different ways. I'm saying, be aware that through experiences you go through, God will speak to your heart. Sickness, illness, be ready to let God speak to you. Have you ever been impressed by God to call somebody? I'd been learning, God had been trying to teach me some things, and so all of a sudden, one evening, came to my mind, I wonder what he's doing. He was a very, very important part of Air Heights. He was a person that led our prayer life ministry. He was very important, and God brought him to his mind, but I hadn't seen him in a while, and so I called him. He thanked me, and we talked for a while, and when he got back, he said, Bob, God must have spoken to you to call me. I said, why is that? He said, because when you called, I had a revolver at my head, and I was going to commit suicide. You ever let God speak to your heart? Same thing years later, calling an individual that God had brought to my heart. Found out that he was debating whether to go get a fifth of whiskey. He'd been dry for 15 years, but things had gotten rough in his life and etc. And all of a sudden, he was away from those that cared about him, and he was so tempted to go get that fifth of whiskey and start drinking to solve his problem. What am I saying to you, folks? Listen to me. God is still speaking today, and we need to understand that, because God says that he wants to communicate with us. God really cares about you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God cares about you. We do that right now. You need to hear that word? Do you believe it? God cares about me. Well, God's never spoken to me. Folks, it's not God's issue, it's yours. I'm serious. If God hadn't spoken to your spirit, then I'm encouraging you today to let the Holy Spirit do an act and a work in your life. Also, God speaks through the anointing of others. You realize that God uses people? Has God used you? I use the word anointing because that's the idea that the Holy Spirit comes upon an individual and uses that individual. Uses individuals. I could go around this auditorium and point out people where I know for a fact that God has used you because there was anointing upon your life. And many, many things that God has done because of the ministries that he's called us unto. And so what he's saying to us, there are others that we need to pay attention to. Those apostles were commissioned not because the Holy Spirit couldn't have done it in some other way, because God had redeemed them, empowered them, implanted his spirit in them, and they were broadcasting the good news throughout all the regions. Pastors. Some pastors touched my life. God used them in my life. Bob McPherson, one of the great pastors, was in Odessa and then went on to Riverside, Denver. Joe Hub Collier, who came after Bob, then came back and pastored here in Parkland. And I could go on naming. Harvey Wuth was the pastor that I was saved on. God uses people. And it's not just pastors, evangelists, teachers. You ever had a teacher in opening the Word of God? We got great teachers in this church. I mean, there are people that can open the Word of God and share truth with you. Those people are being used by God for you to listen to God. Now, you may not want to listen to them sometime, but just ask yourself, okay, God, what do you want to say to me today? Okay, I won't go there. I was, you know, you've been around. I chase a few rabbits when the Lord brings to my mind. I just want you to know people are important. People are important. And God says, I'll use them. I'll never forget when some of these young ladies came and said, God's laid this on my heart, and et cetera, and et cetera. And they began ministering, and God used them in a special way. I want you to see for a fact that God uses people. Family, have you ever been blessed by a family member? Sure. Your mom. Kim's mom had a lot of influence in my life and others. Family members. Friends. God will speak through friends. If you have ears to hear what God wants you to hear, listen to that and understand what he's doing in a special way. You ever had a co-worker that helped you spiritually? Isn't it interesting the people God uses? And sometimes it's the stranger that God sends. Here's a prayer I encourage you to pray every day. Lord, make me sensitive to the people you put in my path today. I tell you, folks, if you will pray that, be sensitive, learn how to initiate conversation, you will see God at work as someone speaks into your life something very, very important. And mainly I want to say that God speaks from his spirit to our spirit. Take your Bible and let's go over to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Look at verse 11. I read out of the New American Standard. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man? Can you stand here and tell me my thoughts? No, I can't tell you your thoughts. You know, I know some of you are making your list for next week. That's okay. Listen up. We don't know each other's thoughts. Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Do you get that? I've got that heavily underlined and read in my Bible. You ought to make note of that, folks. I want you to understand something. It's the Spirit of God who communicates the truth of God. If you're not getting anything out of Bible readings, you're not getting anything out of Christian friendships, the problem may be something's happened to the Spirit of God alive in you. Have you quenched it? Have you grieved the Holy Spirit? Are you some way hindering what God wants to say to you as that individual? Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold and silver, where did I go? I skipped over. Go back to 2. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Okay. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have the Holy Spirit. If they don't speak to you, they may be asleep. Nudge them. You have the Holy Spirit if you're a believer today. That's what the word says. That's truth. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know you have knowledge. You want to have understanding the Spirit of God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. God gives a lot to us because we're his children. We're the redeemed. And that's how we're going to know it, is through that. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Then he goes on and says that a natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit. But what I want you to hear and understand is that God is saying to each one of us today, folks, his Spirit is the key to you hearing from God. And the Holy Spirit has been given to every believer through redemption and salvation. Therefore, you need to nurture that Spirit in your life. You need to allow him to speak to you. You need to allow him to translate Scripture for you in specific ways. So, where is the internal voice coming? Who are you listening to? Where are the noises in your head coming from? There's a lot of things that speak into our life today. My goodness, isn't it confusing sometimes when we have 14 news channels and you get them and they just have all kinds of different opinions? You know, even sometimes the weather channels can't get it all the same. You know, the different opinions are going to happen here and there. And where are all those things going? What about spiritually? What are you listening to? Remember a friend, she listened to a certain biblical commentator in California. And if you didn't agree with him, you didn't agree with God. And I'd challenge her. I'd say, hey, what's the Holy Spirit telling you? What's going on? And so one of the important things in our life is making certain that we allow the Spirit of God to speak to us. Now listen carefully. Satan's chief weapon of destruction is thought patterns. Satan will destroy you by thoughts. Resist him, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Peter said that. Under persecution, that's what Peter was preaching to us. If you do not take your thoughts captive, Paul said, I take not one, not two, I take every thought captive to examine to see it be of God. And folks, if you have not learned to do that as a Christian, you have yourself in a precarious position because thoughts come in from all kinds. You can't stop thoughts from coming into your brain. But God says to you that we must be those individuals to take every thought captive. Some of the things are not of God. If it doesn't glorify Jesus, if it doesn't build up the body of Christ, if it doesn't affirm me as a believer, not of God. Learn how to get rid of that. Stand firm. Resist him in that very thing. How do we do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Take your Bible and go to John 16. Go over to John with me. John 16. Beginning verse 13. John 16. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, who's the Spirit of truth? The Spirit of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. The Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus in our world and in our lives. But when he, the Spirit of God, comes, he will guide you into all truth. You want to know truth? You'll never know it outside of the Holy Spirit. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. In other words, the Holy Spirit is only going to speak the things from God. He's not going to be caught up in the world affairs. He's not going to be caught up in so many things. Now, he may give us wisdom in those, certainly. But it is from God that the Spirit speaks to your heart. He will disclose what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I say that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Jesus is speaking and he's saying to his apostles there and others, he's saying, look, the things I share with you are from God, but that which is to come now, the Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. He is my Spirit. And he's only going to speak the things of God. That's why, friends, God's laid it on my heart to ask you the question, are you listening to God? What voices do you listen to? What's going on in your life? Jesus says, I disclose the message of God. Well, what are some of the standards? What are some of the tests that you can evaluate as you hear and as you read? One, does it correspond with what the Bible says? See, how do you know if it corresponds if you don't know what's in it? If you're not reading it, you're not studying it, if you're not in a group that's studying it, how do you know if it corresponds to the Word of God? I mean, our logic, our reason, we can believe anything, folks. But a Christian ought to have the foundation that the Word of God is what we're going to build our lives on. And so he says to us, that we must be those individuals that does it line up with God's word. Is that thought consistent with the character of Jesus? That's why it's so important for Jesus to be alive in your heart through the Holy Spirit. Because what? When you see people that are down and out and etc. and they need assistance, they need help, it's time to do something. The character of Jesus. Would he help those? When a man came into the church at First Coweta while I was there and said, I need help. And some people thought he looked more like somebody to come in to take us for a swing or something, you know, whatever. The police came. Somebody called them. You know what happened? We helped him. God's voice spoke, said, help this man. And so we took what he had from under the bridge, began to help his family rebuild and his marriage and etc., be able to help him get back to his father in North Carolina and help him. Last week, his father's close to death with a heart attack. You know what? The man found Jesus. He found people that cared. Even wherever he goes, there's people that will care. It's important for us to demonstrate the character of Jesus to others. This is where it's a hard principle that I keep before me all the time. And again, Paul said, I have learned to die to self daily. Do you die to self daily? That's tough, folks. Because what does it mean? It means Jesus is on the throne. You know, they don't have any clocks in this place, so, and I don't have, oh, I do have a watch. Hang in there. And what's the character of Jesus? How does he want to demonstrate that to you? Through you. Do other spiritual Christians confirm what you heard? You know what God did for me here in this church? He gave me a great set of deacons that helped in ministry. There were those that were in the deacon council that could be four of us. Nothing that I did, I couldn't take to them. We went through and talked and etc. You know what I discovered is, if God has spoke, then he's going to affirm it through other spiritual people. He's not going to speak one way to me and another way to another spirit-filled Christian. So other Christians can be an affirming aspect of whether this is of God. That's why you need to be able to share and not walk that road by yourself. Because you need to have those that can feed into your life that are spiritual, spirit-filled people that are going to help you. I'll never forget when Bill Cootey, one day we were in that deacon council. He was on that group that year. You know, here I'm pastor. I'm trying to impress these deacons. You know how it goes. So it was the first of the year, and I brought them 12 goals. Boy, I'd worked on them. We had prayer goals, mission goals, giving goals. I mean, we had goals out the end. I mean, whoo. I'd done a good job, you know. And so I was presenting my goals to those four guys. Bill looked at me and he said, Bob, you know me. I'm a manager. He was a manager in a big company. He said, you know, in our company, we feel if you can reach four or five major goals in 1 year, you've really done a great job. How are you going to reach 12? You know what? That was God speaking to me. I moved from trying to impress that group of deacons to trying to listen to God, which one need to be priority. You understand what I'm saying? Let others be a part of your life and what's happening during that particular time. God spoke to me as he was calling me to ministry. He said unto me, what more can you do with your life than serve others? Every sermon that preacher preached, it always came out, what more can you do with your life than serve others? I don't care what he preached on. The Holy Spirit took him. That's the message I heard every Sunday for like months. And that's what led me in surrendering to the ministry. Thank goodness. That's amazing. God's speaking to us in that. I'm telling you what I know to be a fact, folks. I went to Fairhill, North Tulsa. I had a great experience out there. 2 years is wonderful. I was vice president of the North Tulsa Chamber of Commerce. I mean, we had all kinds of things going out there. And then some pastor called from Emmanuel and said, would you come be our youth pastor and associate pastor? I'll let you preach once every now and then on Sunday night. The flesh said, are you kidding me? I'm senior pastor out here in North Tulsa. We got a good church. It's growing. All kinds of things. We're involved in McLean. We're involved in North Tulsa Chamber. I mean, we're on the Vision 2000 Council for Tulsa. I mean, on and on goes. And he called me a couple of weeks later and he said, What do you think, Bob? I said, I didn't tell him this, but I thought, I hadn't really prayed about it. You know, I thought about it, and I didn't want to go. I said, I need to let the committee know. So that night, Margaret and the kids, girls went to bed. I remember getting back in a little room they had in the parsonage there, praying. I said, God, I want to do your will. You know my heart. And he spoke to me as clear as I'm speaking to you. I want you there for an interim work. What? Okay. What do you mean? Dr. Inlow's been there forever. But God said, I want you there for an interim work. I resigned, went back, joined the staff. Were you guys gone by then? Y'all were still there at that time? Ron and Anita went through all this with us. And so I was 2 years their youth pastor. I told Mark one day, I said, you know, I can't understand because, you know, I'm enjoying being youth pastor out here. And we had great young adults, like the Hunts and others, lots of young adults that we're having a blast with. Then one day, Dr. Inlow walked in and he told the staff, I'm going back to Kentucky. I'm resigning. Oh, I want you there for an interim work. And I thought, oh, okay. Emmanuel had never had an interim pastor that was not a professor of OBU or Southwestern Seminary. I'm telling you the truth. It was a great church. I mean, they could call down the knowledgeable people. 2 or 3 weeks later, after Dr. Inlow left, Chairman of the Deacons, Joe Hewitt, came and he said, Bob, the deacon just voted. We want you to be interim pastor. I want you there for an interim work. For 1 year, I was their interim pastor. They asked me to, I'm sharing my life, but I want you to understand, folks, this is how God operates. And he can operate in your life. I'm not any unusual being. Well, my wife thinks I am, but anyway, you know, nothing exceptional there. So for that year, I was interim. And they came and said, we got a resume from Jared Don Abernethy. He's an evangelist, and we want to hear him preach so he might become our new pastor, because they had a pastor search committee. Jared Don came. I invited him. I just got up that morning, introduced him. He preached a wonderful message. That morning going out the door, this guy came by me. He said, my name's Jim Kelly. I'm chairman of the pastor search committee from Arrow Heights Baptist Church. I didn't even know where Broken Arrow was. Help me. I mean, I was Northside inner city at that time, okay? And good. He said, well, we came to hear Jerry Don preach this morning. We got his resume. We're looking for a pastor. Thursday, they called and said, can we talk to you? And to make the story short, Jerry Don came as pastor on one Sunday. That same Sunday, I was leaving to become pastor of Arrow Heights. I was not in that church 1 hour past the interim. Now, you don't think God can speak? I'm telling you, folks, he speaks if you listen. Are you listening? That's what's so vitally important to us. He said, well, you're a preacher. You know, he got special things for you. There's a doctor, he's a cardiologist, his name is Chauncey Crandell, just wrote a new book called Touching Heaven. Dr. Crandell tells this story. He was called to intensive care because one of his heart patients had coded blue. You know what code blue is? That means when somebody's got a problem, their heart stops. You learn to listen to those kind of things. At the hospital, as a chaplain, when they said, code blue, room such and such, you know, you had to go. Code blue. He went to ICU and found that they had to call him. He was not in the hospital. They had to call him. He got up there. They said, we've been working on him for 40 minutes. He's gone. He's gone. 40 minutes. They couldn't resuscitate him. So they pronounced him dead. And so Dr. Kendall, he said, I turned and left, went out. So as I'm walking down the hall, this voice said, go back. Go back. He thought, what? Go back to the room. So he goes back. And the ICU doctor was still there, and they were prepping him for the funeral home to come. And Dr. Cantrell said, shock him again. Well, doc, he's dead. Shock him again. They shocked him again. Well, first of all, what I left out is he went back and prayed before they shocked him. And he said, God, if this man's not a believer, rise him up from the dead that we can help share Jesus with him. And then he asked him to shock him. He came back to life. He recuperated, became a believer, and has a great testimony today. That's like charismatic stuff. You know, wait a minute. Raised from the dead? I don't understand that. Folks, I don't understand it, but you know what that doctor did? He listened to the voice of God and obeyed. So my question to you today, are you listening for God's voice? Read the Bible, listen to the scripture, allow him to speak to you. Inform your mind. Let him change your heart as a believer. Give attention to your experiences, to your friends, to people around you. God speaks through individuals. Don't separate them from your life. They will bless you. Be ready for God to speak. Be ready. He'll speak to his spirit that lives within you. The only way we can say Jesus is Lord is if the Holy Spirit's in us. If you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, take control. Today's a good day to do it. We'll have staff, others out here that are trained that can help you as you leave in a few moments. You can go to one of the staff, those that are out there. They'll help you in prayer if you have a prayer need. Go to them. We have a room right here that you can go into where there's privacy and etc. Let them know your need. If you need to trust Jesus, let them know. It's more than walking down an aisle. It's letting the Holy Spirit take control. Are you quenching or grieving the Spirit of God? When we dismiss, don't forget, they'll be out there. We're there to help. Those are the friends, the people, the ministers that will help you. Would you bow your heads and answer the question right now? Are you listening to God? He's speaking. It was on such a day, Jesus said, you need to be saved, and I was saved. You need to be saved? Is the Spirit speaking to you? You need salvation? Maybe you've been a Christian a long time, and you've dulled the Spirit in your life. You've quenched the Spirit. You've not acted in faith, expecting God to do anything. Repent and let the Spirit have its fullness in your life. Father, do your work in all of our lives. We're very unique, different individuals, but Lord, you know us inside out. And I pray for every Christian in this room that the Spirit might be alive to you. Let me, Lord, and I thank you for how you've touched my life as I prepared this message. I thank you, Lord, for how you spoke into my life and things that you have impressed upon me. And Father, I now ask you to do it in each person's life here. We'll be careful to praise you. Thank you, Jesus, for your redemption, for you leaving that we might have the Holy Spirit, for you coming again that we might live eternally in the glory of God. Oh, Jesus, we love you. In the name of him who seals us for eternity, we pray. Amen. Rich.
All right. Thank you, Brother Bob. Appreciate that word. We have one that's come to be presented this morning to join our church, and it is Robin Owens. Robin, are you here? There she is. Okay, great. This is Robin Owens, and she recently moved to Broken Arrow from a sister church, First Baptist Church, Amarillo, Texas. Yeah, so we're so thrilled to have her with us. And so if you're excited about that, I'm going to ask you to stand and say amen. Amen. So I want to encourage you. Yeah, we're so glad to have you part of our church.
Thank you.
She's gone through a lot, and she recently lost her husband right before they were packing up to move here. So I'm going to ask that this is a wonderful church family that will love you and that will you'll find some great brothers and sisters in Christ.
That, I already have.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's great. So I want to encourage you just to stop by and just introduce yourself to her. So for 40 years, Brother Bob, he would end our service with a statement. He would say, and God's people said, and then the whole congregation would say, Jesus is Lord, all right? So I'm only saying this because we've had some people join the church since Brother Bob retired. So we're going to say that. And God's people said, Jesus is Lord. So he is, and go serve him as such. Amen.